problem that you face with the Jesuits is that it's like a melanoma or a cancer. It's not just one part. You're dealing with schools, you're dealing with people that were educated by them, like their different colleges. You're dealing with the banks, you're dealing with the wealth of the controlled by the Jesuits. It's not that you're dealing with the Reserve Bank. It's not that simple. Try and kick them out. But all that would do is cause them to simply press a button and they would close America down, as they did in 1929. And again, I'd fear for what that would cause in America. So I don't think it's going to come from economic or political. I actually think it's going to come from spiritual. I think it's going to come from what we were discussing before about how Americans move forward from their crisis of faith at the moment and hopefully start to embrace what they can do to help not just themselves but the rest of the world as people who live and believe.
Searching for everyone I meet, and the times I've been mistaken, it's impossible to say, and the grass is growing underneath our feet. Ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call...
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Sure, they will call in today, and Frank is willing to speak about it and talk about certain things he discussed regarding St. Paul and certain things he discussed regarding the criminality, how Christianity was starting under criminal means. Well, anyway, Frank, it's good to have you back. I'll tell you what, you've stimulated a lot of thought, and within your document there is a lot of things that people need to know. Even though some of it has not sit well with some of the Bible-believing Christians that listen to my show. How are you today?
I'm really well. Really well. It's 3 o'clock this morning.
It is. I hope you're wide awake so that you could, you sound like you are.
Coffee.
Yeah. But anyway, Frank, why don't we start out with what's the big question, and we'll probably get into some of these other interpretations from the Bible interpretations that you gave. But anyway, you asked questions. We were talking through emails, and one of the things you mentioned that was really important was that people need to know why the Vatican is doing what they're doing and what is their purpose, what is their end game. And I think you wanted to start out by discussing that. So go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Look, I think in all the conversations that you have with your guests and all the information, the incredibly important information that people see through your website and through your radio show, the key thing that people have trouble in understanding is why. And it ultimately is the question where everything makes sense. But it's also a question that, when we speak later, requires people to understand that this is not just a good organization going bad over 500 years or 1,000 years or 1,500 years or even 2,000 years. This is a long-standing battle of good and evil. And the ultimate purpose of everything that we talk about, the underlying motive, is that we're not just dealing with a war between the living, but a war between the living and the dead. Now, I'll keep going, but the thing that people have trouble with, is great trouble with, is understanding that when we pass on, it isn't always just about sweetness and light. And this is something that has come in the last 20 or so years with New Age and popular movies like Ghost, all about this kind of universal justice. Well, it's a great idea, but religions like voodoo and others have been practicing shamans for centuries that we can see quite visibly, where they do condemn people. They condemn the living, and they certainly aim to condemn the dead. And that's precisely what the Vatican has been doing for centuries on centuries. And it is the basis of their spiritual power. So long as they hold the keys to condemning souls, then there is no chance of peace in the afterlife, and there's certainly no chance of peace on this planet.
Okay. Now that, you know, something I find that quite interesting, and you discussed some of this, why are they so interested in bones and relics, and I remember on my show, I had on Nuri Rivera, and she's going to come on again Monday. She's the widow of the late Father Alberto Rivera, who tried to talk about the evils of the Jesuit order and, according to Nuri, was killed by them. And also, according to her, they came to her asking if she would tell them where he was buried. She refused, and she felt that they wanted to dig up his bones and take them back to the Vatican. Now, what power would they have by doing that? This is a good example and maybe could really bring home what you're trying to say. What are they trying to do here? Although it seems very satanic. Go ahead.
Well, the Vatican is the largest collector of souls in human history. That is their underlying job, if you like. That's what they do, and they've done extremely well. And everything else is just layers upon layers of that truth. I guess what we've got to understand is how do they collect souls? How do they take a person who's passed and basically bring them under their control? And one of the most simplest ways is, as human beings, we have, rightly or wrongly, a affection to our body and certainly to parts of our body after we've gone. Again, people, if they don't believe in an afterlife, would find our conversation strange. But if you do believe in an afterlife, then human beings are connected to the things that they had in their life, and nothing is more personal than our remains. So if they hold remains and they curse those remains and they involve those remains in ceremonies, then a great many people believe that they are then beholden to those ceremonies. Again, it's all about belief, and this is part of the battle that we're dealing with, is changing not just the mindset of the living, but, as importantly, changing the mindset of those people who have passed. So, yeah, those remains would be critical for them. They would find those remains very, very valuable in what they do. In all the churches throughout Europe, Catholic churches, you'll find they're full of bones, relics, particularly those of the religious, because they, beyond any other group, are the most important to keep in line.
Yeah, and there's a group of monks. I remember when I was in Sicily, there's a group of monks there. When you go down into their, they have a little, when you go into their quarters, you will see they have on display all these skeletons. It's incredible if you go down there. It's the Capuchin monks, and I found that quite interesting when I was there to witness that. But what power does it give them? Again, it's belief, and it's a satanic power, I believe you're trying to tell us, right?
Absolutely. Look, the truth of the universe is this: if you don't believe something, then it can't ultimately affect you if they physically can't hurt you. Belief is so powerful that, well, it rules our world. But if we believe the world is flat, then the world is flat. If we believe 9/11 was just a mistake, then it's a mistake. Belief changes our perspective, and belief, particularly when you believe something is good and it turns out when you pass to be evil, then you are dealing with one of the greatest deceits a person could ever face. And that's how they catch people. They catch people by tricking them to believing that they're good. And when deceit is found out, particularly close to death or after death, then it's infinitely harder to come to terms with than when you're living. You remember yourself, when you first discovered things, you feel sick. You know, it's deceit. It's realizing that you've been sold a truckload of lies. But imagine what happens to a soul when they do pass being good to discover that everything that they follow is evil. What happens then?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question. That's a good question, and I wish I could answer that. But anyway, I find this to be so fascinating because not only are they involved in the political systems and the destruction of people, if you look at their history, which we're going to get into, which you have, but this idea of controlling even the afterlife through their worshiping, I might add, is founded in canon law. And there are a number of canon laws passed which really validate what you're saying, the worshiping of the dead, the worshiping of bones and different relics. And it's all right there in their canon laws, which I listed in an article today on my website, some of the canon laws that back up what you're saying here. So I find that to be just a force of evil that is so deep rooted that it's going to take a lot of good people to defeat these guys. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yep. And if you believe in hell, and they are the collector of souls and the gatekeepers of hell, then you believe that there's still war in heaven. And if you believe that there's war in heaven in the afterlife, then what chance do we have of peace on this earth? And there is your belief structure. They know it. The people that run it know it. And that's our central problem. As long as they hold beliefs and affect people who pass to keeping us in a state of heaven and hell, then there is no chance for peace on this earth.
Yeah, and that's a statement that rings true. I mean, what do you see in the history of you spent? We got only a few seconds here. Then we're going to get back into your interesting collection of works and called the Almanac of Evil. But what I'm getting at here is that you asked a major question: is the Vatican good or is it evil? And that's how you go through these 2,000 years, and I think we're going to find out some very interesting things when we come back. Frank, we have to take a break, so grab that coffee, and we'll be back right after this 3-minute break on the Investigative Journal.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the mark of the beast and the unholy Holy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This came at the end. I mean, I was collecting information as I was writing, but I first started writing really as a way of thinking of ideas. I'd spent some time in a, contemplating a, being a priest myself. I'd spent time with the Capuchins. I brought up in a family of priests and religious that go back for many, many centuries. Family goes back to at least 2000 BCE in Ireland. So very, very old family. And I really was collecting ideas on how to improve things, not at all worrying about the Vatican or the Catholic Church or good and evil. In fact, I rejected a lot of that and was looking for the connection between science and metaphysics. But when I finished this and I started to write to people, what I discovered more and more is that I was far from the first person to ever write a good idea. Millions of people have come up with great ideas. But I couldn't understand, why does the world stay the way it is with so many good intentions? It didn't make sense. So the more that I looked at what I collected, the more I could see, as Adam Smith, the first economist, once said, the invisible hand. This invisible hand has been there decade, century after century, really trying to keep us depressed. And then I wanted to understand who those people were. The New World Order is a term, as you know, that's been around since George Bush said it after the Berlin Wall came down, or the father, I should say. And people now are starting to realise just who is behind the New World Order, thanks to people like you. But I wanted to understand why. And so when I did understand why, I saw that all the pieces were fragmented. It was as if the story would start at the 17th century and finish at the 18th century, or start at the 12th century and finish at the 14th century. There was no history, and certainly there was no context. So I wrote this not as my first priority, but as a realization that if you do not defeat evil, then nothing will change on this planet, and we'll still see people dying, we'll still see the pain. I mean, we are living on the most incredible planet, probably one of the most incredible planets in the universe. We haven't found another Earth, and yet look at the hell we make it. Now, one could say that we do it because we're stupid, but what I've discovered is we've made it hell because people want it to be hell, and that's what I'm trying to stop.
Okay, and what? Let's discuss this. You know, go back. When you started out with a clean slate, giving the Vatican the benefit of the doubt, but you've come up with so many things that lead you to believe that they are the real spiritual controllers behind this New World Order George Bush talked about. Tell us how you came to that conclusion.
Well, what I discovered, and really it came about from this question we said before, is the Vatican good or evil? And it's a pretty simple question to answer. Up until the 18th century, there was no question that the Catholic Church was the largest economic entity this world had ever seen. They took gold, they made money from slaves. All of these things can be put to one side and said that was the times and people fall off the horse. But all of a sudden they disappeared. And so it's only occasionally that you hear about this fantastic wealth that a handful of bankers and other people in the know really have a handle on. And the question I asked was, if they're so fantastically wealthy, why today do they refuse to A, admit to their wealth, and B, use even a fraction of that wealth to help the world? And we're talking about an organisation that's worth trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. They could spend 1% of their wealth and cure all the poverty in Africa. They could cure it in 5 years. They have that kind of that wealth. Yet why don't they? And this is what ultimately turned me to realise that I wasn't dealing with a group of people stuck in tradition. I was dealing with people that have a totally different agenda to the rest of the world. And what we're talking about today, if you like, is the core motive of why they do what they do. Once you see them for what they are, as a collector of souls, focusing on the dead as much as the living, everything makes sense.
Okay, we're going to get into those questions and try to answer them right after this short break on the Investigative Journal. Back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Okay. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Program notes here. You'll have to go to republicbroadcasting.org in the future. That's where the radio station's website will be, republicbroadcasting.org. The archives are back up until January 26th or 7th of this year, and the rest of them should be up this week, I'm told. Until then, you can go to my website at www.arcticbeacon.com. You can scroll down. You'll see a little box that says Important Notice, Audio Archives Here. And you can get the archives of this show and the other shows in that interim period of all the other shows on RBN at if you click that Audio Archives Here button by important notice in the important notice box. So you can listen to this interview just a couple hours after it's over. If you want to go back and listen to it, download it, you can do that, which is good. We want this message to get out, and we're going back a long way to get an intellectual understanding behind what's happening to us today. The Almanac of Evil was written by Frankel Collins from Australia. And Frank, how can people access that right now? Can you give us that website?
Well, I'd probably say the simplest is to actually go to your site and click on the there is a banner ad there called the Almanac of Evil, and that can get them straight to it. Or they can type. I think that's probably the simplest, I would say.
Yeah, why don't we just leave it there, and maybe in the second hour we can give both out. But just go to my website at arcticbeacon.com, and basically what you can do there is just click on. You'll go down about halfway down the page, I believe, and you'll see the Almanac of Evil. You'll see the Almanac of Evil there, a banner, so you can access it there. Okay, Frank, let's go back to those 7 points you were trying to make.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I think the 7 points are critical because if I was to try and distill what is, unfortunately, hundreds and hundreds of alleged crimes by the Vatican, it's these 7 points that make it, you can get to understand where all this comes from. And they were, firstly, to render the Gnostic teachings of Jesus and the Nazarenes ineffective. The second was to perpetuate the Jewish sacred texts that were created by Jeremiah, Baruch, Nehemiah, and Ezra as part of the liturgy. And the reason that second point was critical to the Sadducees was that this was exactly what Jesus was trying to destroy. Jesus and the Essenes from Qumran knew that the Old Testament was a made-up set of stories essentially created to stop the noble Jewish families from child sacrifice. So that the way they wanted to stop the Gnostics was to effectively overlay these made-up stories and make them part of the liturgy. The third was to destroy any text and references to Jesus and the Nazarenes, the original text. And if it wasn't for the Nag Hammadi scrolls in 1945, they would have succeeded. There was no references other than in Irenaeus and other early writers who were attacking Gnosticism to any of the primary texts. So they'd done an exceptional job at destroying all the evidence of what Jesus originally wanted to say. The fourth was to, where not possible, destroy, rewrite and the evidence and try and contradict the initial claims. So here, Jesus has a final supper where he's replacing meat with bread. All of a sudden it becomes a sacrifice ritual of bread and blood, his body and blood. So they turned a vegetarian ceremony into a satanic blood ritual. Here is Jesus being executed effectively on his birthday, and his Christianity separating his birth and his execution as two totally separate and fictitious days. Both Jesus' birth and his execution was 14 Nisan under the Jewish calendar. So there's hundreds of examples where they've gone in and deliberately contradicted the initial history. Three more to go. The fifth was probably the most controversial, was to usurp all the members of Jesus' family and his disciples, and where possible, ensure their death. Now, if you said to a Christian and you said to a Catholic, well, your religion went out there to actually murder the family of Jesus, they would just laugh. They'd say, well, how could you say that? But this was a very key objective of the religion created by the Jewish high priests and by St. Paul, which we now know is Christianity. And the sixth was, most importantly, to structure the new system so that it was multi-layered. So when we go to church and go to Mass, that is the lowest level. But above that is a thing called a high Mass. And the high Mass is a satanic Mass.
and it's virtually identical to the lower mass, except it's the mass where all the power is concentrated. So when Catholics dutifully go off to church and eat the body and drink the blood of Christ and perform in simulated rituals of Satanism, all that energy, all that focus is brought to a head when they have the satanic rituals in exactly the same churches and sacrifice people. And the last, and probably not the least, is to curse every person that follows this religion blindly. Now, that is why we're dealing with evil, because they are the objectives of evil. That's exactly why it was formed.
Yeah, can you explain? That last statement was powerful. It's to curse, even the religion itself curses people who just follow it blindly. Meaning?
Meaning these people were obsessed in power. And these people weren't only obsessed in power, but they were trained in power. They understood the initial identities of Satan. They understood the identities of the demons. They understood because they were the inventors of black magic. So they understood the power of trapping souls. And if you ever look at some of the very sad history of voodoo, you understand that if a person believes they're cursed, then they're cursed. And if you can trap someone believing when they die that they are beholden to you, then they are beholden to you. And when you control forces both in heaven and earth, you are a very, very powerful force. But later, I hope I can tell you that part of what I've been trying to do is end that in a quite simple way, but to break that nexus that they have between cursing people and what they do still in evil.
Right, and I think let's continue on, because I think as we move forward, we'll see the Vatican's role in all of this and how it evolved. So why don't we continue forward with what you think is important that people understand. I know it's impossible to really cover 2,000 years in 2 hours, but I think we can get a good hold of, an understanding maybe of what went on before us so that we don't repeat the same thing over again. I think that's the real key to this, to understand a little better what this evil force has been for thousands of years and how they still operate under the same mechanisms. Go ahead.
Well, once you understand that these are pretty close to the objectives from which St. Paul and Josephus, who we call St. Luke, and the high priests formed Christianity, then you can move forward and start to see that there was a clear objective. The enemy was knowledge. The enemy was self-knowledge and freedom. And again, you'll find, when we talk a bit later on, why the Declaration of Independence by the Founding Fathers is now still the most dangerous document that the Vatican faces, because it is the high watermark after probably 1,500 years. But what the Christian religion did through St. Paul and through St. Luke was work towards a ground zero, that is, taking everything in history back to the most basic level to control everything. And they achieved that around about 550 under Emperor Justinian. People don't realize that bricks, sanitation, a whole modern society was in operation 100 years, 200 years prior to the birth of Jesus. And if Christianity and Paul had never got his way, we would have been driving hydrogen cars at about 400 CE. We probably would have been on the moon by 800 CE. The Greek philosophers knew the earth was round and it rotated around the sun 150, 200 years before Jesus' birth. So, again, people don't quite understand just how far they took us back to ground zero. In 550 CE, under Justinian, we had the worst plagues in human history because they had destroyed Christianity had destroyed every single piece of city infrastructure. And that's where we started. We started back in the Stone Age, and they've been in control ever since.
So get us to Justinian now and move us forward to the highlights of what the crimes of this institution what they did, actually did throughout the centuries?
Well, probably, I think the one that we need to focus on first, because it's probably the most dramatic. The two things that the Catholic Church perfected over centuries was genocide and slavery. And from 550 onwards, anyone that was still alive, and only one in two people survived the plagues in the world, were either going to be burnt or they were going to be a slave. And the slavery, I think, is probably the one we should fast forward to, because there's a lot of stuff people can see in what they did individually. But in terms of big, big systems, from about the 13th century, the Catholic Church realized that if they forged documents and claimed territory, they could divide and conquer the rest of the unchristianized world. And they did that. They did that with Portugal, and they did that with Spain. And they set up a set of treaties where they would be paid on the successful delivery of live slaves a royalty fee for effectively owning the global slave market. And you can find the papal bulls and the references to those in the Almanac of Evil in those chapters, I think chapter 13, 14, and 15, which were the base, if you like, contracts that set up the global slave trade. And that revolutionized Europe. That is where we saw from serfs and courts and no economic activity to seeing the world even get a bit of a heartbeat back from the days that before the great Ground Zero wind back.
Now, you just an aside here, let's discuss, you in fact say the Bible itself provides some of the clues of what we're talking about here. How do you reconcile, let's say, someone who strictly adheres to the Bible? What is your thoughts about that?
Well, last time we spoke, I said that there's no worse a feeling, a sickness, realizing you've been deceived. And I think any of us that have gone through that feeling know that it's one of the worst. So I don't wish that upon anybody. But the Bible was written for one purpose and one purpose only. It was written to stop people killing their children and worshipping Satan. It's why the story on Abraham sacrificing his son and at the last minute substituting it with an animal is probably one of the most important parables in the Old Testament. It was written by the Persians, the Zoroastrians, to try and stop the Israelites from killing their firstborn children. And it never was written and designed to be a supreme or divine book of inspiration. So I'm very sad when people feel that it's the Word of God, and they believe what Paul and what St. Luke and endless popes have told people. It's not. It has a noble purpose. It was written by very smart men. It has some good parts to it, but it was there to do a job. It wasn't there to inspire like the Rig Veda from India or Buddhist or Confucius Analects. You know, it was there to effectively stop a behavior. And in fact, the number 666, which John, the last of the apostles, got into his book of Revelation without it being edited, related to one historic event. The Persians destroyed the temple, and St. Peter, destroyed the temple again on exactly the same day, 666 years after, for exactly the same reason, because the Israelites were Satanists. I'm sorry, until rabbinical Judaism changed their whole religion into a fantastic religion, up until that point, they were, in their noble families, Satanists.
Yeah, and what my point is, just from my humble view, I've always felt deep in my heart that people of good, people not of what you would say this world, no matter what faith they may adhere to, can work together to find the one God. I mean, you can agree with that, Frank, could you not?
100%.
And I don't understand. I think what happens is that
they use stories of the Quran and the Bible and others to drive a wedge between goodness, between all people. And there is no one way. Now, some people are going to disagree with me, but I believe there are many ways to find God. You can find him through good people, through the writings in the Bible. You can find him through other writings and other in the Quran, things like that. Am I off base on that, or is it just, again, that wedge people want to drive between religions to, in a sense, corner the Word of God for their own purposes? And I don't believe that's the way he would think. Do you?
Well, hopefully we can get onto it later on, that some of the stuff that I've written in a constitution called One Heaven and an idea of effectively the end of the curse, the end of cursing ourselves, and this division that we have allowed ourselves to become, where wisdom is franchised between religions. I absolutely agree with you. Wisdom is wisdom, no matter who says it, where it's said, and what time. And wisdom is a way of helping us through the pressures of life and the pressures of society and making sense of life and death. And unfortunately, some religions and some people have created a system which is not just separating, but perpetuating evil. And we have to end it.
And that's where the Vatican comes in. We're going to come back and discuss this more with Frankel Collins. Call us at 800-313-9443. We'll be back right after this short message.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
investigative journal. And I might add this, Frank, if I could just explain something to many of my listeners on what we're talking about here. The way that, and there are many people out who, there are many people who believe the Word of God is in the Bible, and I believe that to be true. I believe also it can be analyzed this way, that maybe God sprinkles his words in many places. Let's take a simple example of a person who can't read, a person from a country that's an island that has never been able to be educated or to listen to what we're talking about. But I believe a person like that can also find God's word sprinkled maybe in the leaves of the trees, in the rain, in the grass, in things that we may not quite understand. So I really believe that we can unify people. It's not, some people are going to say that your message may divide people who believe the Word of God strictly in the Bible. And I don't believe that. I believe it's a unifying force to understand that his word could be sprinkled in many different places. And the question becomes, is there a God who will come down and fight this evil? And I believe that to be true. And you can find him in many ways. And I found him through people who believe in the Bible. And I really have thanked these people so much because they've helped me listen and understand that there is a good force that will come and help us fight these people. And I think what you're trying to do is help that, is to fight the real evil epicenter that has been controlling and killing so many people by dividing us, division between this. You know what I'm getting at, Frank?
I do, Greg. And I think if I was to say, what is my hope? My hope is that generations beyond our lives are born with a belief that they're no longer cursed, and that when they look at their neighbor, whether they be black, white, yellow, whatever they believe, that they see what is similar to them and not what is different to them, that they are united in their humanity and not divided. And I think people have to realize, don't have to realize, but I use this saying, if you believe in hell, you believe that war still rages in heaven. And when we talk about God and we talk about evil and goodness, we're talking about a story that has been going on for a lot longer than you and I. And what we find ourselves in at the moment is, if you like, the closing of another major chapter in that history, not only by our choices, but in fact by some of the words and some of the insinuations that are coming out of the Vatican themselves. The Vatican themselves are looking for this closure. They're actively looking for this point which they can look at and say, we have reached the end. They call it the end of days or rapture, whatever you want to call it. And I think people hopefully will understand in what I'm writing that it's not negative towards people who believe in the Bible or any religious work. It's about the unifying of us and the elimination of evil, wherever it is, that stops us from becoming better people.
Yeah, good. Well said, because I think what that means is, very important that you're not trying to divide, but you're trying to really make it a simple question. What is good? What is evil? And we're going to get into that right after this break on the Investigative Journal and direct that question right to the head of the Vatican. We'll be back after this short message.
Somehow, I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow.